Food & Wine magazine's Ray Isle tastes a lot of wine every year. The good, the bad, and the just plain awful. Well, he's been noticing a sea change of sorts in some of the wines from the United States. Not the wines from California or Washington or Oregon, but the wines from Texas, New York, Virginia, and Arizona. Our contributor Noelle Carter talked to Ray.
Ray, it's such a pleasure to talk to you today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
One interesting statistic that you mentioned is that as recently as just a few years ago, wine was produced in all of our 50 states.
It's really quite surprising. I mean, you know, there actually is quite a long history of wine being produced in states other than the West Coast states that everybody's familiar with, the California, Oregon, Washington kind of axis. You know, if you go back, wine's been produced in Missouri for quite a long time, for instance.
Wow.
But to have wine produced in every state in the union is really kind of remarkable, especially states that you wouldn't expect, like Hawaii.
You know, it's funny. When I think of good wine, I think of wine produced on the West Coast. But if I were to think of, say, wine made in the Midwest or, you know, in the South somewhere, I don't necessarily think of it as being of the quality that I would want to buy.
You know, I think that's changing, actually, which is really exciting from a wine point of view, from a wine writing point of view. In the past, it has been very tough to find good wines in the kind of non-West Coast states. I think over the past, let's say, 7 to 8 years, there's been little pockets of really ambitious winemaking that have kind of sprung up in places like Virginia, Texas, Arizona, Michigan, the Finger Lakes in New York, which has been going on for quite a while, actually. And, you know, you're starting to see wines that are quite competitive with what you would get out of California or Washington or Oregon. And it's exciting, especially, you know, as we sort of fall more and more into this idea of eating locally. It's nice to be able to drink wine locally, too.
You know, in your article, I love how you mentioned you were traveling with your father a few years ago through Texas. And, you know, you tried some of the wines and you weren't as impressed. And then just last year, you did a food and wine tasting and you were blown away by the results. Can you describe some of the eye-opening experiences that you've had recently with some of these regional American wines?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that Texas situation was classic because I did travel. I took a, you know, it was a great fun. I took a trip through Texas, you know, and I'm from Texas. So it was kind of father, son, you know, traipsing through my home state. But this was 7 or 8 years ago, and the wines we tasted, we kept going to these wineries, having a great time, and then thinking, oh, it wasn't that great. And I came back to the Austin Wine and Food Festival a couple of years ago and was on a panel with a group of Texas wines as what we were pouring for the audience. And I tasted these wines, and I had a little bit of trepidation because it's that awkward thing where you're on a panel, you know, in your home state with a bunch of wines and you hope they're going to be good. And in fact, they were terrific. They were really, really fantastic wines. And that was the kind of the beginning of this thought process. Shortly after that, I was at a tasting in Christie's in New York, the auction house, where Jancis Robinson, who's a English wine critic, had brought, among other things, we were tasting a whole bunch of different wines. But one of them was a Bordeaux-style blend from Virginia, of all places. And she said, you know, I think this is a really remarkable wine. And we all tasted it and thought, she's, you know, no lie, that is, in fact, a really remarkable wine, which got me thinking. And so I spent some time traveling through Virginia tasting wines, and the top wines coming out of Virginia are really spectacular. And then because I live in New York, I'd been following the Finger Lakes, which I think is kind of inarguably the best Riesling producing region in the U.S.
Wow.
And then, you know, after that, a wine director down in Scottsdale, Pavle Milich, had gotten in touch with me about Arizona wines, and I tasted some samples and things and thought, you know, they're doing some really interesting things with Rhone variety grapes, Syrah, Grenache, in this high Sonoita desert area. And Michigan, northern Michigan, actually, the places like the Leelanau Peninsula, you've got some really, really nice Rieslings coming from Michigan. And, you know, there's some terrific wines coming out of Missouri as well. And it's, you know, it all kind of coalesced into this idea that there's kind of a, you know, whether it's a renaissance or a tipping point or whatever term you want to use for it, there's something going on where these states that aren't the West Coast states, there's suddenly a real kind of, you know, burst of creative energy in terms of winemaking, which is incredibly exciting.
And I would imagine, are those local wines much more difficult to find?
Well, if you're in the state where they're produced, they're actually usually quite easy to find because you can go directly to the winery, among other things. The trick for a lot of these wineries is getting some kind of national distribution, and that's pretty tough. So it can be very difficult, for instance, to get Texas wines if you're in Idaho. And that's partly the vagaries of the wine distribution system in the U.S. And it's partly because it's honestly, it's a little bit, you know, the big, one of the big selling points they have is the local thing. It's, you know, you can sell Texas wine in Texas much more easily than you can sell it in Idaho. But I'm hoping that, you know, eventually the U.S. ends up, you know, in a way like France is, where it's not uncommon to see wines from the Languedoc in Paris. You know, it's, you know, the different regions of France have distribution through the country, and that, you know, there's no reason why the U.S. couldn't head down that road eventually, too. And it wouldn't be strange to see an Arizona wine on a New York wine list.
That's great. Ray, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Ray Isle is executive wine editor of Food & Wine magazine. Noelle Carter is the Los Angeles Times Test Kitchen Director, and she writes the Culinary SOS column. Head to splendidtable.org to get Ray's picks of the best of off-the-beaten-track American wines.